this morning. I'm going to start. I'm going to be preaching throughout the whole of January. Some of you may go, yay. Some of you may go, oh. Okay, but I'm going to be bringing a series called Growing Pains. And what I want to look at just over the next 4 weeks is just what it feels like to grow. And I want to begin to highlight some stuff as we're growing as a church that may be uncomfortable for you, that may be things that you go, I don't like that, I preferred it when. You know, it's really easy in hindsight to look back at the good old days, isn't it? And you know, the days when there were only, you know, 50 of us, or the days when there were only 3 young people, or the days when, you know, the kids were out for the whole service, or the day when it wasn't so crowded. And we can look back. But you know what? In those days when our church was smaller, there were groups of people praying that we would grow. There were groups of people praying that God would expand us and would grow us. And with growth sometimes comes pain. I can remember when I was a young person, I can still remember that far back. And I can remember one night waking up in the middle of the night, and all down the back of my legs, I was in excruciating agony. And it was growing pains. And I couldn't grow sometimes without the pain. And sometimes in church, there's frustration and there's pain sometimes when we're growing. And I want to look at that over the next 4 weeks. And I want to look at maybe what 2019 may look like for us as a church. And I want to take us this morning to Matthew 25. And we're going to be reading together from verse 14 to verse 30. And we're going to be talking about the parable of the talents. And so I'm going to read those verses to us. These are words of Jesus. They're in red in my Bible. And I think it's a great parable for us to listen to, and we can get some great things out of it. So if you've got your Bibles, let's turn to Matthew 25, and we're going to begin at verse 14. I'm reading from the NIV version, okay? It says this, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold, and see, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold, and see, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I wonder if you could just bring me that up for me, Math, please. Thank you. Okay. We're going to be looking this morning at growing pains. And we're going to be looking at this small statement this morning is simply this, that small things grow. Anyone knows that small things grow. Doesn't matter what it is, but small things grow. And thank you. And I want to kind of illustrate that a little bit this morning. So I know she's about to burp, But can I borrow you, Emma, because I've got to hold a microphone. Don't want to hold the baby as well as the microphone. Okay, that just doesn't work, does it? Okay, small things grow. Okay, this is baby Joyce. And she's one of the smallest members of our family. Hello, you cried for me the other day. Are you going to smile today? It's not looking like it, okay? But I don't know if you know baby Joyce. I don't know if you know Abigail. Or Madeline. Let's use Madeline as the example. Madeline is through those doors at the moment and is, what, 5 years old now? 6 years old, okay? Madeline basically was once baby Joyce. Baby Joyce is a replica of Madeline, okay? And she is just like her, okay? And Madeline used to scream at me as well. She quite likes me these days, but she used to scream at me when she was a little baby as well. And that's what you did the other day. You see, Madeline was once like this, but small things grow. So this time next year, if I was talking on this subject, I wouldn't probably bring, oh no, we are smiling, hello. I probably wouldn't bring Joyce out because Joyce won't be that small in 12 months' time. Because small things what? Grow. Small things grow. So Heather, thank you very much. You can sit down now. Oh, give her a round of applause. Isn't she cute? Yeah, a small one because she's a baby and we don't want to scare her. Okay, small things grow. Now, whether that is a baby, an actual person, okay, small things grow. Whether that is, this is one of my favorite things in the entire world, to come into an office and just have this. Okay, it may not look exciting to you, okay, but to someone, one of my main gifts as a leader is I'm a visionary. I like to see things. I like to dream, okay? And sometimes I dream a little bit crazy and I have to really kind of take another look at it, okay? But this is one of my favorite things. You see, I think this has potential, okay? So a blank piece of paper for me is something, whether it's an idea, whether it's something that is just an idea and we put it on a piece of paper and we begin to think about the idea. And I'm one of those people that does like stupid diagrams, okay? So I will write my idea in the middle and then shooting off it will come all of these things. You see, I think that it might only be small to you. You might say it's just a blank piece of paper, but I think that has potential because small things grow. Whether it's a baby, whether it's an idea, whether it's a new business, James will tell you small things grow, okay? If you talk to Mark, who was up here earlier on, Mark started his own business not long ago. Small things grow. What started small now has become kind of this massive thing. If Charlie was here, you could talk to him. He started his own gardening business last year. Okay, small things grow. I know now he has more work than he's ever known. Small things, they grow. And I want to talk to us this morning about this whole concept that small things grow. There is always something that can be grown out of something that may seem small. And I want to say to us that this is not who we are meant to be. This is who we are right now, but 5 years ago, we weren't this. 5 years ago, small things had to grow. And I want to say to you this morning that this is not all God has called us to be. This is not everything that he has got for us. What he's done is he has given us what we have right now. And he's asking us the question, what are you going to do with it? Because small things need to grow. And actually, if you look at our church and if you look at where we are right now, we wouldn't be in a town the size of Louth. We wouldn't be considered necessarily small. But I want to say to you that God has got more for us than what we already have. Your connect group, small things grow. And I don't think that God just wants to grow our connect groups through people who are in church. Why don't people become Christians in our connect groups? Small things, they grow. And I want to talk to you this morning about things multiplying, not just things growing slightly, but actually, I believe what Ruth brought to us this morning, that actually there is a cloud the size of a fist. There is something. And we have been going up for a few years now going, God, what are you going to do? God, when are we going to see it? And I think that we've seen some of the things that God is doing. But I want to say to you that small things are going to grow this year. Over your life as an individual, small things are going to grow. There may be a seed of an idea. There may be a promise. There may be a business in you. There may be a book in you. Whatever it is, this morning, I want to tell you that small thing that you think is insignificant, small things grow. And actually, when we give the small things that we have got to the one who is the grower of everything, okay, great things can happen with us. You see, the third servant was only given one talent. But the potential in that one talent or in that one bag, as we read in my version this morning, the potential in that was huge if he would only have seen it. If he would only have done something with what he had, what was small could have grown. You see, smallness is not about what you have. It's about what you think about what you have. Smallness isn't I have got less than you. Smallness is what do I think about what I have? Because actually the Bible says in Proverbs that as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And I want to say to you this morning, the way that we think about what we have, the way that we think about what we are a part of, the way that we think about those things that may seem small in our eyes will either create something bigger or keep us small. Small things grow, whether that is in the positive or in the negative, small things grow. You may be sat here this morning, you know, and you may be offended. You may be sat here this morning and you may have just those small seeds of offense or unforgiveness in you. Let me tell you, those things will grow if you don't deal with them. The same as if we're in here with an idea or a dream. And let me tell you, if you don't do something with those things, they will die. Small things grow. Many people can look at their life and their circumstances, their bank balance, their career, where they live, their relationships, and think that they are small. And if you think small, you will act small, you will make small decisions, and you will see others who are with you as small, lead small, and follow small. But I want to say to you this morning, small things grow. And God has got something for your life and for my life this morning. With those small things, with those insignificant things that this year he wants to do something with. God was looking at what was added to what the three servants were given. He wasn't looking at how much they had. He was looking at what was added. So if the third servant had added one talent or one bag, that's what God was looking at. He was looking at what people did to add to. You see, this morning I want to say, in a lot of ways, it doesn't matter where we're starting out from. What matters is how we add to what God has already given to us. So this morning I want to look at three lessons that we can learn from this parable about these three servants who were given something that may, you know, one was given a lot and one wasn't given so much, but actually every single one of them had potential. Three lessons that we can learn. Are you ready? First lesson is this, that God entrusts those who serve. God entrusts to those who serve. I want to say to you this morning that when we serve God, he gives and he gives and he gives. And he doesn't give to burden us. He gives us to release us into everything that he has called us to and everything that he has for us. God entrusts those who serve. Do you know what? This morning is not about how you look, but it's about the substance that you carry that is important. It's not about how our church looks to other people. It's not about, you know, are they the cool ones or anything like that. We're not into that. It's about what we carry. It's about the substance that we carry. That is what matters this morning. And God entrusted those who serve. Our service and our productivity are linked. When we serve well, I don't know if you found this. This is what I have found in my life. When I serve well, I produce gold. When I serve good, I produce. And that is in every aspect of my life. When I serve well in my family, I produce something great. God has challenged me over the last 6 months or so to invest not just in our immediate family, but in my wider family. Because if I want to produce something good, I've got to invest something in them. And God's been challenging me, actually, my productivity and the way that I serve are linked. When the master in the parable picked three people to give the talents or the bags of gold, it said in there two. When he picked three people that were already his servants. He didn't go out and look for random three people. He picked people he already knew, picked people who were servants within his house. Do you know what? When God comes and when he looks for people who he can call, who he can, you know, ask to do something, do you know who he usually does that with? Is those who are already serving in his house. When God comes and when he brings, you know, something new for us, when he gives us something different to do, when there's a new initiative starting up, it's usually the people who are already serving, because God entrusts those who are already serving. And you know what I believe this morning? That God has entrusted us with things. In the story, it was the finance, but God has entrusted us this morning. He's entrusted us with our community. God's entrusted us with people. I take that very seriously. I take it very seriously that God has entrusted me leading you guys. I take that seriously. And I pray into that, and I ask God to help me with that, and I ask God to be with me as I do this stuff. God has entrusted us with people, the people that are sat next to you this morning. God's entrusted you with them. You may not even know them, but if we're going to be in community together, God has entrusted us with each other. That's what family is all about. That's what church is all about. God has entrusted us with vision and with faith. And what we do with that, we are going to be answerable to. What I do with the vision that God has given me for this house, I'm going to be answerable to. What we do collectively with what God has given us, the vision he has entrusted us with to win every generation and to win every people that we can with the gospel, what we do with that is up to us. God's entrusted us with the vision. It's now up to us to get on with that. I am so excited about the 9th of February. Like, we're coming. I want to encourage you. Do you know what? They've got a vision. I love what Mark and Jane and the team are doing with our older generation. They've got a vision. I want to encourage you. Buy a ticket. Support them. I love the support that I have from our older generation. They are so encouraging. They are so incredible. And always have been. There are some of you sat here who were here when I first came nearly 23 years ago. And for 23 years nearly, you have encouraged me. And I thank you for that. Do you know what? God has entrusted us with people, with vision, with his church. And we need to make sure that we serve it well. Everything you do produces fruit in your life. And it produces fruit in your character, and that fruit then will turn to action. Whatever you do in life will produce something in you. So be careful what you do. Be careful what you do, because small things grow. And whether it's something that is there at the moment that is positive or negative, that will grow. Everything you do will produce something in you. So the first thing that we learn from this story is that God entrusts to those who serve. The second thing that we can learn from this story is that there, when we think small, fruit will come from that. And what I want to do is just very quickly take a look at six things that can happen when we are small in our thinking. When we're small in our thinking, six things very quickly that can happen. The first one is this, is that when we're small in our thinking, we compare ourselves to others. When you look down on who you are and what you do, what you have, you will compare it to someone else. When you look down on what God has given you, you will compare it to what God has given to someone else. When you think small about what God is doing in your life, you will compare it to what God is doing in someone else's life. This morning, let's not get caught up in the comparison trap. In Judges 6, we read about a man called Gideon, and Gideon compared himself and his family and his clan to everyone else. He saw small, and God had to do something with him to help correct that. This morning, let's not let the fruit of small-mindedness be the comparison of us to someone else. I have a number of friends who lead huge churches. And it's very easy to get into the comparison trap. I gave that up a long time ago. But it's very easy to get into that trap. And it doesn't come from the fact that someone is better than you. It comes from the fact that you think they have more than you. But actually, you have what God has given you. So get on with it. And let them get on with what God has given to them. We can always learn from one another. But I want to say this morning, let's not compare ourselves to one another. The second thing that can happen with the fruit of small-mindedness is that we play the blame game. Verse 24 of Matthew 25 says this. This is about the man who had got one bag of gold or one talent. The man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I know that you are a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See here is what belongs to you. When we think small, we blame others when we don't come up with what we should have come up with. When the servant thought small and decided, I'm going to hide it in the ground, the first thing he did was blame the master. I know you're harsh. And so I was afraid of you and what you were going to say if I lost it. So I've hidden it in the ground. I've not done anything with what you gave me. I know the others have, but I haven't, because I was afraid of what you were going to say. The moment that he didn't come up with what he should have done, he blamed someone else. And when we think small, we can blame someone else for what we don't have and what they seemingly do have. And this morning, let's not get into the blame game. Let's not get into blaming God or blaming circumstance or blaming someone else. When God has given us something, he's given it us because he knows we can do it. If God's, let me just tell you this. If God's given it you, you're the right person. That's why if God gives something to me, he knows it's because I can do it. That's why he doesn't give it to Emma. Because he gives Emma something different. Because he knows that she is made differently to me and she's wired differently to me. And what God gives Emma, he didn't give to me because he's like, that Joe will just make a hash of that one. So I'm going to give it to Emma because she'll do a beautiful job with it. If God's already given it you, you will succeed. If God's already given you something, whether it's something small, if it's something small, it'll grow. There are things that we have to do to allow things to grow, but then let God do what God can do. Because small things grow. And so this morning, if God has given you something, don't play the blame game. Get on with it and allow God to do what he needs to do with it. The third thing that can happen when we think small is that we become lazy. It tells you, small thinking tells you that what you have isn't seen as much, so what's the point? We become lazy with what we have. Because we think it's no good. Everything the Bible says that God gives to us is good. Everything. Even those things that right now might frustrate you, even those things that you think seriously, everything that God gives to you, every child you have, every job you have, every moment of your life that God gives to you is good. It's good. So let's not be lazy and waste it. Because when we think small, like that servant did, basically the other two servants, they worked hard and they reproduced what they had been given. The third servant was lazy and he just dug a hole in the ground, put it there and thought, I'll wait till he comes home and I'll sit back. He could have done something with what he had. But small-mindedness stopped him doing that. The fourth thing is that we become negative when we think small. When you look down on what God has entrusted you with, you become negative, especially about those that you perceive have more. Colossians 3 verse 2 says this, that we're to set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. When our minds are thinking on God and all that he is, all that he does, all that he wants to do, they can't be small because God is not small. God doesn't think small. God doesn't think, do you know what? Let's just leave them where they are. It'll be all right. As long as they stay like this, it'll be all right. God doesn't think like that. God knows that he has got more for you. God knows that he has got more for us. God knows that small things grow, which is why in the Bible, there's a verse that simply says this, that don't despise the day of small beginnings. I don't know what it is that you are in with at the moment. I don't know what it is you've got in your mind. I don't know what ideas you've got. I don't know what you're formulating at the moment. But don't despise the day of small beginnings, because God makes small things grow. Fifthly, when we think small, it strangles faith. Faith takes your thinking out of the possible to a level of impossibility where it's only God that can make things happen. When we eliminate small thinking, faith can begin to take root. I love the song we sang this morning that began, that the bridge of it says, "Let faith rise up, oh heart, believe." Let faith rise up. It's not always at the top, is it? I don't know if you have those seasons or those times in life where faith seems to be a struggle. But one of the killers of faith is when we think too small, is when we don't think big enough, when we don't allow God to expand our mind enough to think bigger. This morning, I want to say that strangles our faith. Faith and small-mindedness are opposites, and one will always win. We'll either have faith or we can think small. It's entirely up to us. But this morning, I want to suggest to you, why don't we let 2019 be a year where we allow faith to rise and where we go again, where we go one more time, where we say to God one more time. I love the story in the Bible where Samson was stood at the pillars and he had messed up and he had got it wrong and he had been defeated and he was stood between two pillars and the enemy were partying and were laughing at him and he'd had his eyes gouged out and he was stood and he was just like, "One more time, Lord." And he knew that if God used him, he would die as well. But he's, "One more time, God." And he began to get his strength back. And I believe that this morning, there's some of you going, "I can't think big again because of." And you've got that thing that you keep harping back to. And God goes, "Come on, one more time. One more time. Let's go again." And as we begin to allow God to expand our thinking, faith begins to rise and strength begins to rise in us for one more time. Let's go again, God. And God is saying to you at the beginning of this year, "Come on, give me another year." And he'll probably say at the beginning of next year as well. But he's saying to some of you very specifically this morning, "Give me another year. Come on. Give me another year. Let me strengthen you in the coming days and the coming weeks as you're stood between the decisions that you're making. Do I allow small-mindedness to win, fear to win, or do I allow faith to win?" And you're stood between the pillars and God's going, "Come on, give me one more year. Give me one more time and let's see what I do. Let's see what happens." Because small things grow and it may be something that God has placed inside of you that you are afraid to go for. Do you know what? Let's go for it this year. Let's go for it this year. Let's allow faith to rise and God to move. Let's not allow faith to be strangled as we think too small. And then sixthly, it takes us out of God's plans and presence. Do you know, God's presence is what is going to make a difference. I say this to us all the time. It's what will make a difference to you individually as you walk into your workplace tomorrow. As some of you kids start back at school tomorrow, as some of you go back to university, God's presence is what is going to make the difference. As we meet together collectively, that's why we're praying throughout the whole month of January. As we meet together, God's presence is going to make the difference. Our programs aren't going to make the difference. God will use them, I am sure. God will use what we do. But I want to say to you, it's his presence. It's his presence. His presence is what will make the difference. But when we think small, when we don't allow God to expand our thinking and expand our minds, when we say what we have is not good enough, it's not as good as wherever else or whoever else, we kind of limit us going into his presence. And I want to say this year, we're going to make his presence a priority. Small thinking and a refusal to allow faith to grow causes our relationship with God to stagnate. And this makes coming into his presence difficult. God has so much more for you. Do you know that this morning? You could be the most high-flying person in the room right now, but God has more. You may be sitting there and thinking everyone else is doing better than you. God has more. You may be somewhere in the middle. God has more for you than what you are currently experiencing. The fruit of small thinking has nothing positive in it. And if we're wanting to see small things grow, something you have now is small, but it has the potential to grow into something of great significance. You just have to give it a chance. Maybe some of you are starting with the blank page. It's how I like to start every new season of my life. Because on it, God is going to write something. On this blank page of 2019, God's got something he wants to write. Maybe this is the year that you're going to break free from that addiction you've tried so hard to break free from. Maybe this is the year that you're going to find that relationship that is going to bring you happiness. Maybe this is the year that you're going to do something for God that you've never done before. Maybe this is the year that that new job opportunity is going to come up. Maybe this is the year where kids are going to come back to Christ. Maybe this is the year where God is going to do something absolutely unexplainably brilliant in your world. Maybe this is the year. Don't allow small thinking. Don't allow you going, but it's a blank page. You know, the blank page is one of the most exciting things you can have because on it, God could write anything. Allow God to write the script of your year. Allow him to write it day by day by day. Allow God to write things on your heart, not just on paper, but on your heart this year that are never going to be movable. Matt's already brought it this morning. You know, when he was talking about when he was growing up and they would go and they would say the peace to one another. It's something that's written on his heart. It's not something that's written in a book or a manual. It's not something that is just, you know, on the pages of a service that you may go to. It's something that is written in him. Allow God to write something in you this year. Allow the Holy Spirit to write something on the script, on the blank page of your 2019. And the third lesson that we learn from this, and I've been saying this throughout the whole of my preach this morning, and I want you to grab hold of this, is that small things grow. Small things grow. Small things grow. Are we getting it this morning? And sometimes they may take a while to grow. And sometimes they may grow very quickly. I have learned with boys that their feet grow very quickly. It came as a shock to me because I had a girl whose feet didn't grow. And she had the same shoes throughout the whole of foundation stage when she started school. Ollie had them for 5 weeks and then he needed more. You know, small things grow. And sometimes when they grow, it's frustrating. And sometimes when they grow, you're like, not again. And sometimes when they grow, it's not something that you were anticipating or expecting. It may come as a shock or as a surprise because you may have to do something because the small thing has grown. But I want to say to you this morning that when small things grow, it's one of the most exciting things that you can go through. It's easier to take something down that is small. And if the enemy this morning can get you thinking wrongly about what God has given you, he can take you down and he can keep you small. The third servant in the story that we read this morning held what he was given wrongly and it caused him to lose out on his future. Whatever God has given you, hold it right. Hold it loosely. And allow God to navigate what you do with it. Do you know what? You must invest in the small for it to grow healthily. If I allowed my son to just eat chocolate spread sandwiches, and most of you who have known Ollie all his life will remember the pack-ups that we used to bring to try and keep him quiet in church. Any other parents been through that? Okay, it didn't work, by the way. When the chocolate spread ran out, the screaming began. So I feel for all of you who might bring small children to church. We have been there. We know what it is like. But if I allowed him just to eat that, I wouldn't be investing in him to grow healthy. If small things are going to grow and if they are going to grow healthy, we need to invest well into them. Do you know, growth costs, and sometimes it costs at the most inappropriate times. Do you know what? Church growth, and we're going to be talking about this for the next 4 weeks. Church growth can be frustrating. There will have to be change. Things will be different. Someone will sit where you normally sit. Things will change, and sometimes those changes can be frustrating, and we can either embrace the change or go against it. Past 12 months, we've seen change. The cafe is noisy after church. You have a choice. Either that means you go straight home or you embrace the change. I'm embracing the change. I might bring some ear defenders one week. Okay? It's echoey. It's noisy. Because there's been change. There's been growth. Small things grow. The chairs are often full. We were talking after the carol service. We're probably going to have to put two on this year. Because it was just full. And we're believing for more. But we have no room for more. It's going to be change. And it's not always comfortable. And it's not always nice. And it's not always, you know, let's wrap the blanket around us and have a nice time together. There's going to be new faces. The demographic has changed. So what we do may need to change. But because small things grow, we need to embrace it and walk with it. We're growing. And I know that I need to grow with us. And you need to grow with us. If this is your home, you need to grow with us. Because not only, you know, if the only thing that grew was more people came, we would never have an impact in our community. There's got to be a balance between numerical growth and discipleship. We have to grow. Are you getting this, church? I have to be different next month than what I am right now. I have to grow my character, my capacity. Who I am has to grow. How many I can embrace has to grow. It's not just, if all we ever do is grow in number, to the outside, that might look cool. I don't think it looks cool to God, though. I think what looks cool to God, I think when God looks down, what he loves is a church that is growing, yes, in number, but also a church that are growing, that the people are growing, that we're allowing the Holy Spirit to do something in us. And this morning, I want to pose the question to you, are you willing to grow with us? Because if you're not, you're going to struggle with the change. If you're not, some of the growth's going to be frustrating. Are you willing to grow with us this morning? Are you willing to have your capacity stretched? Are you willing to have God come and do something in you? Because it's not just about us growing, it's about me growing. Maybe there are things in me right now that I need to stop growing because they're not good things. Maybe there are things in me right now that I just need to allow God to grow and grow. I need to allow God to grow my love for people. I need to allow God to grow my love for community. I need to allow God to grow my love for him constantly. Small things are going to grow this year. And that's going to be collectively. But I'm speaking over your world right now that is going to be personally. It is going to be individually. Those things that are in here or in here right now, get ready for them to grow as we allow God to do something. Can we stand together? I want to pray for us this morning. Maybe part of our growth is to be here tonight. Find out how to allow God to grow in our lives even more as Neil brings what he's going to share. Are you willing to grow with us? Because as I grow, as you grow, and then as we as a church grow, our church growth will be a lot easier when we are growing as individuals. So I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for the growth that we've already experienced. Lord, thank you for the growth that we've even seen in the last 12 months. Lord, I pray right now that you will grow us as individuals, that those things that you have placed in us, that you'll begin to expand them. Those small ideas, those small nuggets of faith, those small nuggets of things that are in our hearts and our minds, Lord, I pray right now for those specific people that may have business opportunities or may have just those words from you over ministry. Lord, I pray that those small things will grow. And Lord, I pray we won't force them. But Lord, I pray you will grow them and at your appointed time that you, Father God, will do something with them.